This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning. Because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Appel in for the next hour for Hawk, Crowder, and Solana. Jimmy's still here. My ears are still ringing from last night inside Amerant Bank Arena. George Richards, Florida Hockey Now, he'll be on at 3:30 to talk about last night's game and everything else going on in this series. We'll get to it in headlines later this segment, but we do know that Nico Mikkola, who got a five-minute major and a game misconduct last night for boarding, he was fined the maximum allowable under the NHLPA agreement, and he is not going to be suspended, so that's good news for the Panthers. I thought Mikkola would get at least one game. Aaron Ekblad, however, for his forearm shiver to the upper body, Brandon Hagel, he's got a phone hearing with the league later today. And we heard from John Cooper, the Tampa Bay Lightning coach, that Brandon Hagel would not play in tomorrow's game. And the quote was, "You know why," end quote. So we'll get to all that with George Richards. But it is the first segment of the 3 o'clock hour, which means it's time for Cat Doc, sponsored by Hollywood Kia. Get the star treatment at Hollywood Kia, the number one Kia dealer in all of Florida. We want to see you in a Hollywood Kia and shop online at HollywoodKia.com. I was thinking about this leaving the game yesterday. I can't remember that building being as loud as it was for that 11 seconds near the end of the third period last night. Now, of course, they played a game 7 in that arena last year. Sam Reinhart scored a big goal near the end of the second period. I was not in the building for that one. I did not feel like I was mentally capable of being in there. So I watched from home. So I wasn't in the arena to feel that. Matthew Tkachuk, of course, scoring the series winner against Carolina with seconds to go to send the Panthers to the Stanley Cup before they lost to Vegas. That's certainly in the conversation. Here's a throwback for you. Marcel Gotch scoring the game-tying goal late in the third period against the Devils, Game 7 of 2012. And I wasn't in the building for Bruins-Panthers Game 6 2 years ago. But last night had to have been one of the loudest instances we've ever experienced in Amerant Bank Arena. That was insane. 11 seconds. And the Panthers were about 4 minutes from going back to Tampa, tied at 2. And now they've got a stranglehold on this series. Likely will be without Aaron Ekblad again. So we'll see the same lineup probably that we saw in games 1 and 2, unless A.J. Greer and Mackie Samuskevich switch out for each other again. But wow, was last night awesome. This is a hockey town. Full on. Hockey town. Jimmy's wearing his throwback Panthers jersey.
Oh, yeah.
Looks great. Great sweater.
Yeah, thank you, thank you. When I was watching that sequence, like the 7 minutes left, I was so nervous. Because we're like down like 2-1. and we just got a goal called back.
Which, by the way, are we not calling that offside in the moment? That was the Panthers had two guys offside by like 20 feet. I don't know how we didn't see that live in game action. That review took about 3 seconds. It's the shortest review I think I've ever seen for a goal in the NHL.
Which was the right call? Like,
absolutely. Oh, it wasn't even close.
Yeah. But once they scored those, I was more amazed when they scored 11 seconds later than we actually.
We were still in the arena on the high of the cheer and the moment of Aaron Ekblad tying the game for the second time, this one counting, of course. That eruption from the crowd, I can still feel it. I can still hear it. I walked out of the arena yesterday feeling like Jimmy Butler in the bubble, leaning over the side table under the basket. Everybody knows the iconic photo. That's what I felt like leaving the game yesterday. I gave it my all at the bank last night. Now, 100%. Would I like to see the Panthers be a tad bit smarter with their physicality? Yeah, I would. I don't like seeing Nico Mikkola not being able to play the entire third period because of a dumb boarding hit. The first hit's okay. The second time, while the guy's on the ice, smashes his head into the boards. That's a 5-minute major in a game misconduct. I'm shocked he didn't get suspended. Aaron Ekblad, brother, forearm shiver to the guy's head. What are we doing? I don't know how the official didn't call it. He was standing right there. And some Panthers fans might be pushing back at me. It's eye for an eye, blah, 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 blah. Here's the thing. Remember all of our reactions to the Alexander Barkov hit by Brendan Hagel in, what was it, game two? Yeah. Put yourself in those shoes again. You'd feel the same way if you were on the other side. But here's what I will also say. If you are a Tampa Bay Lightning fan, if you are John Cooper, if you are that lunatic who does radio, respectfully, of course, for the Lightning, I'm not sure you can have a gripe with the officiating from last night. The Lightning had a 5-minute power play, up 2-1, to start the third period, a chance to put the game away and bring it back to Tampa tied at 2. And the Panthers' penalty kill suffocated them. And in general, it was such an odd game. There was nothing happening aside from the 12-second stretch where the Lightning scored twice and the 11-second stretch where the Panthers scored twice late in the third period. Other than that, there wasn't sustained pressure by either team. Nobody was really outplaying the other. These are two really skilled teams, really quality defensive teams. And the margins and the bounces went the Panthers' way last night. And sometimes, it's all you need. What an amazing feeling that was.
Just amazing.
And just further on the Lightning, with their power play, after the Ekblad hit, they immediately score twice. Right? Like, I'm not buying the officiating as a reason or an excuse with them. And you're seeing a lot of it online. And that's part of the, you know, the rivalries are fun and the trash talk back and forth. But both fan bases, I've seen a lot of stuff going way overboard, right? Like, it doesn't have to be so tribal. I mean, it's inherent in what we're watching. But, there is some real vitriol out there on the interwebs right now between these two fan bases. And the Panthers are in control. Minutes away from blowing a 2-0 series lead. And they snatch victory from the jaws of defeat. And John Cooper's all flustered in his press conference. Doesn't want to answer any more questions about hits. Can't blame him. He had a great chirp with Paul Maurice. Paul gave it right back to him in the presser. But man, there are a few teams that I take more joy in beating than the Tampa Bay Lightning. I just wish we towed the line a little more. We weren't throwing around these elbows and these boarding and these hits from behind. I just wish we would kind of lay off of that. Because I think the Panthers are a lot better than Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay is very top heavy. And we talked about that when we previewed the series. Right? The Panthers' depth, both defensively and their third and fourth line, clear Tampa's. And so, from Tampa's perspective, last night, they lose a game in which their depth shows up. Right? Chernak scores. Chafee scores. Who? Any casual fan watching, any Panther fan watching? Who? Unless you are locked in on this league, you don't know who those guys are. And they got it done for Tampa Bay, and they were 4 minutes away from a win, while all their top guys have been taken out of this series. Not physically. Nikita Kucherov, invisible. Brayden Point, invisible. Jake Gensel's produced a little bit, but he had a turnover yesterday that led to Aaron Ekblad's tying goal. Couldn't clear the zone. The Panthers have done such a good job taking that top line and their power play out of this series. The Lightning are 1-for-15 on the power play in this series. And last night, the Panthers, they get their depth scoring, and they win. The third line. Lundell scores. Marchand has two assists. Seth Jones scores a goal. Aaron Ekblad scores a goal. Verhaeghe adds an empty netter. But though Sam Benn and Matthew Tkachuk didn't really have a huge impact on last night's game. Alexander Barkov and Sam Reinhart, on the offensive end at least, aren't producing, but on the defensive side, oh boy. They have that Tampa top line locked down. And they're one game away from clinching this series and moving on to round two. Okay, George Richards, he'll join us in the next segment. But we got to get the headlines here so we can get to George on time. Our headlines are brought to you by Doral Hyundai. At Doral Hyundai, choose from over 1,300 new Hyundai models in inventory like the Tucson, Sonata, and Palisade. Remember, when it comes to Hyundai, the great deals are at Doral Hyundai. All right, so we just talked about it. Panthers beat the Lightning last night. One of the craziest games in the playoffs in Panthers history, I would say. One of the coolest nights in that building that I've ever experienced. Game 5 tomorrow, 7:30. Lightning forward Brandon Hagel will not play in Game 5 per Lightning coach John Cooper because of the hit from Aaron Ekblad. Nico Mikkola, as we just talked about, he was fined $5,000, maximum allowable under the CBA for the boarding penalty against Zemgus Girgensons. And how about Jonnu Smith, right? Getting the crowd fired up on the drum last night.
That was really cool.
That was great. Yeah. And by the way, moving over to the Heat. I know the guys covered it a lot in the first hour, that and the gorilla phenomenon that's going around social media. Which, by the way, the gorilla is beating 100 humans every single time. I mean, it's not even a conversation. Why are we wasting our time?
Not even close.
The gorilla wins. It's not close.
I mean, maybe a few can hurt the gorilla, but you're not defeating the gorilla.
Now, if Aaron Ekblad and his forearm are fighting the gorilla, if it's 100 Aaron Ekblads and 100 Aaron Ekblad forearms, maybe the humans have a shot. But the Heat last night, worst loss in franchise postseason playoff history. Witty sent me a screenshot of a live bet he made. He won Heat plus 57.5. And I imagine there are plenty of others listening who took the same odds and the same live bet and cashed out as well. So Cleveland moves on. They'll await the winner of Milwaukee and Indiana, see who they'll play in the second round. For the Heat, back-to-back worst losses in franchise playoff history, games 3 and 4. Ernie Johnson on TNT noted it would have been the most lopsided loss in NBA history in the playoffs, 60 points back in 1955, if the Heat hadn't gone on a 5-0 run to end the game, making the final margin 55. Really had to sweat out that 57.5. And of course, Bam Adebayo last night saying, quote, there's going to be a lot of changes this summer. So from my understanding, now the guy with the silver hair works. So just be prepared for that. I don't know what the Heat are going to do because the current iteration, as we've talked about plenty on this show, just not good enough. Marlins, they lost to the Dodgers last night in the first game of the series, 7-6 in extra innings. Marlins were down 5-0. Dane Myers, the Great Dane, game-tying pinch-hit grand slam. Listen, I know they lost, but there's something about this team. They are a fun, entertaining team to watch. Game 2 tonight is at 10:10 p.m. According to the New York Times and The Athletic, the payroll gap between these two teams, a cool $406.5 million. And yet, Eric Wagaman and the Marlins toe-to-toe with Shohei Ohtani and the Dodgers. Marlins and Flanagan's announced their next Flanagan's Fest at Lone Depot Park. It's on June 21st. Flanagan's ribs and wings will be served at Marlins concession stands during the game. I actually had Flanagan's for lunch today. And then tomorrow night, Inter-Miami will host Vancouver in the second leg of the CONCACAF Champions Cup, down 2-0 after the first leg. Witty and I and Hawk are actually going to be at the game. So we're going to that tomorrow. And then I wish I had more time to talk about this UNC story with Bill Belichick and his 20-something-year-old girlfriend who sabotaged their CBS interview. And according to TMZ, UNC officials are not happy about it and think that she can cause a bit of a problem. All right, those are your headlines. Weather, sponsored by DeBesman & Dover Law Firm, your accidentattorneys.com. Free consultations 24-7 at 866-954-MORE. Your weather, 84 degrees, a little windy, no rain, partly cloudy. All right, coming up in the next segment, George Richards, Florida Hockey Now. We'll talk some more Panthers hockey right here on Hawk and Crowder. The guys will be back at 4 o'clock.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
This isn't the Oprah Winfrey Show. My feelings don't matter.
Hawk and Crowder.
Welcome back to Hawk and Crowder. It's the 3 o'clock hour. Josh Appel in for the guys until 4 o'clock. Happy to be joined now by our good friend, George Richards of Florida Hockey Now. He joins us on the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location, Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan, toyotaofhollywood.com. George, how are you?
Josh, what's up, buddy?
Oh, I'm just doing? Still riding the wave of last night. I have so many things to ask you.
The heat wave?
Yeah, that one. That 55-point loss last night. Yeah, let's talk. Yeah. We're gonna do 15 minutes on the Heat, because that's the game you covered last night, right?
15 minutes of Panthers, sure.
Right.
Of Cats.
Florida basketball now? Are you starting that?
Florida Heat. Florida Heat now, yeah.
Still workshopping the idea.
Yeah, it's certainly a work in progress. Everything's good, though, your way.
Yeah, can't complain, especially after last night. So let's get into it. Let's start with the discipline or lack thereof that could or could not be coming. Let's start with Nico Mikkola. Comes out today, he gets fined. Are you surprised that he wasn't suspended?
Not surprised that he wasn't suspended, no, because I figured once they tossed him from last night's game, he missed the entire, pretty much the third period. The boarding call came 19 seconds into the third, so when he got that game misconduct, that cost him the entire third. So I figured, I'm sure the NHL took that into consideration. That's just. So he'll be able to play tomorrow in Tampa.
One player who will not be able to play tomorrow is Brandon Hagel because of the, I don't know if you would call it a hit, a forearm to the face or to the neck area or the jaw, however you want to look at it. John Cooper, obviously not very happy with the hit. He expressed that displeasure on the bench last night. And then, in a way, expressed his displeasure again in announcing that Hagel would not play tomorrow. Aaron Ekblad has a hearing later today. I don't know if it's happened or not. Do you have any update? And what do you think is going to happen with that?
I don't know. I mean, it may have already happened. It's a phone hearing, so I'm sure it's going to be pretty quick. He's going to be able to state his case or has stated his case. I think he's getting a game. I mean, and there's no coincidence that the Tampa Bay Lightning, who don't give out any injury updates, regular season or during the playoffs, just all of a sudden volunteer that Hagel will not play tomorrow. That was for the audience of the Department of Player Safety. So they know that Hagel is out, which means they want, an eye for an eye kind of situation. If Hagel's out, Ekblad should be out, is their thinking. So they're hoping to sway that committee.
And honestly, I can't blame them, because if I'm looking at it as objectively as possible, that should be a game for Ekblad.
Yeah, listen, they were upset about the Matthew Tkachuk hit on Jake Guentzel in game three. And that was nothing like the Hagel hit on Barkov in game two. But in this case, I think you're right. Ekblad, listen, and the officials didn't see it on the ice. And you could see John Cooper, you know, dropping the F-bombs and counting down one, two, you know, pointing out each single official. Four of you missed this, as he screams, you know. They did. They missed it on the ice. They did not miss the Nico Mikkola hit, and Nico got tossed. Aaron Ekblad did not. He's able to score the game-tying goal. If you're the Florida Panthers, you probably take that.
I would say so. Do the Panthers have this Lightning team rattled right now? And I ask it because Cooper, I don't feel like he's ever really that emotional. Like, there was a lot of emotion on that bench last night.
Yeah.
He seemed kind of ticked off in his press conferences. This is a team that, as we know, has an incredible Stanley Cup pedigree. They seem a bit rattled. Do you get that same read?
Yeah, I do. I think we saw it a little bit after game one, where I think that Coop kind of realized that they don't have much of an answer other than Andre Vasilevsky against the Panthers. Florida has completely neutralized Tampa Bay's top two forward lines. They've shut down their power play. All they've got right now is Vasilevsky keeping them in games. And yesterday I had to do the Tampa Bay side for NHL.com. We stood there waiting to get into the locker room area for 10 minutes. And we're like, okay, so maybe there's a team meeting. Out comes Cooper. So Cooper was in that room for 10 minutes. I mean, it's hard to overcome a loss like that. I mean, they had an opportunity to come home with two wins in Sunrise, coming home even at 2-2, and they gave up two goals in 11 seconds, and that was it.
George Richards, Florida Hockey Now, joining us here on Hawk and Crowder. George, it kind of reminded me of the 22 sweep that the Lightning had over the Panthers.
Yeah.
In that Uyghur play with 10 seconds left in game two, I think it was, where they were destined for overtime and Uyghur makes the mistake and the Lightning capitalize and they score. And even though it was only 2-0 at that time, it kind of felt like that was the series. Last night felt like that for Tampa Bay.
Yeah, it kind of did, because again, it was just an opportunity that's lost late in a series, late in a game that you don't have the real estate to make it up. I mean, there's a couple games left in this series, but like Victor Hedman said, they've got to win the final three. I mean, Tampa Bay cannot lose again, and Florida's loose, feeling good about themselves. They've got Sergei Bobrovsky in net, so they're playing good defensive hockey, and they've got Bob back there, so they feel good about themselves. And listen, Florida's not getting a lot of offensive chances. Tampa Bay's playing a very good defensive game. Vasilevsky's fantastic. But the Panthers were able to get to the loose pucks and make their own breaks last night, and that's the difference right now. And they're up 3-1. And really, all the pressure is on Tampa Bay right now, even though, you know, you could say they've got nothing to lose. It's been a minute since the Tampa Bay Lightning have won a playoff series. There's starting to be a little bit of pressure there.
George, you mentioned how the Panthers have been able to shut down that top line of Tampa Bay, and some might look at the offensive production in this series from Alexander Barkov and Sam Reinhart, but I mean, the Panthers certainly will take this trade-off considering the depth advantage they have. I mean, the third line, right. Lundell, right. Lustarainen, and Marchand were phenomenal last night. But could you just shed a little light on how Alexander Barkov and Reinhart, that duo, obviously along with the defensive pairings, but how those two are able to neutralize Kucherov and Point the way they have?
Yeah, they're smothering them. And Florida is definitely... And this has been, you know, everybody that the last month of the season that was complaining about the Panthers, this is how the Panthers were playing, right? They were trading offense for defense to get ready for this moment. And this is why they're playing exactly like they were when they had that five-game losing streak. They were playing terrific. They were bottling everybody up they're bottling up the Lightning, especially what's his name, Kucherov. I mean, he's making plays. Kucherov is a guy you just want to contain. He's making plays. He's getting points. But every time he gets the puck, there's two Panther guys dropping down his way. Every time he releases the puck, he gets hit. I mean, they're making him uncomfortable, and he's just not able to do what he wants to do. And again, we said it at the beginning of the series, we did not think that Tampa Bay had a match for Florida's third or fourth lines, and so far they have not.
And that's, I think, probably the most frustrating part for Tampa, is that last night, again, they got depth scoring from Chernak and Chafee, and yeah, they didn't win. And that's got to be incredibly frustrating for them. I was talking in the first segment of this hour about how last night, to me, was probably one of the top five loudest I've ever heard that arena. And I'm curious, as someone who has been there almost every home game for the Panthers for who knows how long, except for the 1 year you were out in Columbus, or 2 years, however long it was. We don't speak about it. It's okay.
Sure.
Where do you have last night? Because obviously game seven of the cup last year, Tkachuk scoring in the Eastern Conference final to advance to the cup 2 years ago, game six against the Bruins, Marcel Gotch back in 2012. Like, those are the only moments that I can really think that compared to last night. And I'm glad you got a chuckle out of the Marcel Gotch reference.
That was a good one.
Era of Panther hockey, that was like the moment of the last decade, and they lost that game.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of that one in a while. Last night was right up there. I mean, the place exploded, and you heard it mainly because they had been just sitting there waiting, right? Ekblad scores that power play goal, the place erupts, and then they have to, offside, okay. And then you're waiting another 7-8 minutes, and then he ties it up, and you're like, yeah, that one's good, and the place just goes ape. And then before everybody can settle down, Seth Jones gets one in 11 seconds later, and it just, you know, now it's party time. Yeah, the place was hopping. You know, this market has just come so far. It's a Monday night. The Heat were playing. Forget what the score was, but the Heat were still playing first round game, and both arenas were packed. And you know, if this had happened, you know, 10 years ago, you know, there would have been 3,000, 4,000 empty seats for the Panther game, and there weren't any. It was packed, and the place was hopping, and you know, it was a good time in Sunrise, no doubt.
Yeah, it was one of the coolest live moments I've experienced there in that arena, with those other ones that we just mentioned. This might be an obvious question, but you know, you brought up Seth Jones. I can't think of really a game where he's played all that poorly, really, since the Panthers acquired him. I would imagine that the organization has to be absolutely thrilled with what they've gotten out of him since they acquired him.
They could not believe that, you know, that they were able to pull that deal off. You've got Chicago eating $12 million of his salary, so you've got him at a very reasonable $7 million per year for what, the next 5 years. What a strong swing and hit for Florida to get a guy like Seth Jones. And yeah, he's been really, really good. Now, does he make some mistakes? Yeah. You know, offensive defensemen do. They happen. And I think a lot of people love harping on those little moments, but it's the moments you don't see. And Seth Jones has those moments all the time. The passes that he makes. Last night I was watching him handle the puck as he was pursued by two different players, and he reverses course and goes right back around them. He is an outstanding hockey player. He is a terrific defenseman, and just an absolute steal for the Panthers. You gave up Spencer Knight, and that's fine. I mean, Spencer Knight needs to be a starter, and right now he wasn't going to be the starter here, and Florida doesn't need to be paying their backup $4.5 million with Bob looking the way Bob looks. And, you know, so it worked out for both sides. Chicago got what it wanted out of the deal. Florida got what it wanted out of the deal. And Seth Jones is, you know, he's only going to get better as he gets through this system. I mean, this is a whole new way of defensive hockey, this system that Florida employs. So, you know, when he goes through training, you know, gets through these playoffs and goes through training, I mean, he's only going to get better.
Last one for you here. Maybe one more. We'll see.
Everybody
expected, myself included, that when the Panthers acquired Brad Marchand, that he would play on a line once everybody was healthy with Sam Bennett and Matthew Tkachuk. But
sure,
he has, on that third line, been such a great fit with Anton Lundell and Etu Lostarainen. What makes that trio of guys work so well together? And I wonder, is it that Lundell and Lostarainen are just so good with anybody that they're put on a line with? Because, you know, I think back a couple of years ago, Sam Reinhart gets put with them,
right,
and they click. Evan Rodriguez last year was really good when he played with them. It seems like those two, whoever they put as that other winger, they excel. And this fit with Brad Marchand's been great.
Yeah, we did get to see that rat line for a minute, right? The other day, they did put those three together. Listen, when we talked to Brad Marchand at the very beginning, when he first got here, he mentioned a couple players, and it wasn't Matthew Tkachuk, it wasn't Sam Bennett. He mentioned Nico McCullough, and he mentioned Anton Lundell. He said that he thought, you know, playing in Boston, he thought that Anton Lundell was 28, 29 years old. And he goes, and then I get here, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, this guy's 22. He couldn't believe how young Anton, and we forget. You know, he's got as many playoff games as, you know, half the league right now.
It's like six games in the playoff already.
Yeah, he's a kid, you know, but he's so good. And the way they played on that first goal for Florida, where Marchand races into the corner to beat the icing, gets the puck out, Lostarainen digs it back out, gets it to Marchand. Marchand feeds a wide open Lundell, who roofs it. Just a beautiful play. And we talked to Lostarainen today about it, and he's like, yeah, it's just great playing with those guys. And again, you nailed it. I mean, whenever somebody's hurt, you can always put anybody with that group. It's kind of like the Barkov line. Anybody plays well with Barkov. I think anybody plays well with Lostarainen and Lundell just because of their style. They play the game honest. They play a 200-foot game. They turn defense into offense and offense into, you know, they just do everything right. And, you know, it's just another example of the depth of the Panthers. When you've got guys like that, those aren't the guys people think of, right? When you talk about, about Barkov, Ekblad, Tkachuk, Reinhart. You don't think about those other guys, and they are so good and so important, and they're the reason why the Panthers are where they're at.
Last one for you. I lied by saying the previous question was the last one. I promise this is the last one. And thank you, George, for your time as always.
Of course.
What type of game do you expect tomorrow from Tampa? Are they going to be out there trying to throw hits and get some retaliation, or are they going to be trying to extend this series a little bit at home? Because I could honestly see both. And
yeah,
what type of game do you see playing out?
I think, you know, listen, that's a veteran team. They're trying to win game five. They're trying to force a game six back here in Sunrise. They want to keep their season going. They know it's not impossible. I mean, they almost pulled off two wins in Sunrise. And John Cooper said, listen, but when they were down 0-2, he goes, we're going to a building that we've had success in the past. So they're not scared to come. But so they want to keep things going. Now, could things get a little loose? Could things get a little crazy if it's 4-1 in the third? Yeah, maybe. But I think Tampa Bay is going to come out trying to win that game and not put themselves in a bad spot, not give the Florida Panthers an opportunity on the power play to get going again. And you know, we'll just see how it goes. But Tampa Bay is not out of this. This is not over. But Florida, again, being able to come back last night, You get to, like Sam Reinhart said today, you get, you know, you sleep a little better after that one, because, you know, 3-1's much different than 2-2.
Awesome. Well, the Panthers will continue only hitting players who have the puck tomorrow night and the rest of the postseason. George Richards, Florida Hockey Now, thanks so much, as always, for your time. You're great. And if I needed somebody to fight one gorilla, I would choose 100 George Richards's.
All right. Thanks, Hawk.
Bye, George.
Thanks, bud.
See you later. Back with more on Hawk and Crowder after this.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
That is some cojones, boys! Wow!
Hawk and Crowder.